The gospel is from the 12th chapter of Luke, verses 41 through 48. Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everyone?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and prudent manager whom his master will put in charge of his slaves to give them their allowance of food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and if he begins to beat the other slaves, men and women, and to eat and drink, get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him into pieces and put him with the unfaithful. That the slave who knew what his master wanted but did not prepare himself or do what was wanted will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required, and from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded." The word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Welcome. This is a challenging reading, to say the least. Severe beatings, lighter beatings. Oh, that's really good news. You said thanks be to God. Are you kidding me? We read how the disengaged, unfaithful slave of the master is severely punished. He will be dismembered, cut into pieces, and put with the unfaithful. The unfaithful in Scripture is a place referred to as a place of utter darkness, just out there, utter darkness, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why such serious, sobering references to punishment, judgment, if you will? What happened to the God of love, right? We kind of like to sin, and Jesus likes to forgive us, you know? If I had my choice, and I did try and tear this portion out of my Bible, but we're preaching through the whole Gospel of Luke, which means we preach everything. By the way, I think when I was on vacation, Matt kind of gave me this text. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it a lot. All that aside, it is a word we need to hear, as tough as it is. Peter asked Jesus in verse 41 of our reading, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everyone?" Jesus has been sharing parables, and sometimes they're directed at kind of the crowds, and other times, kind of like he takes his disciples aside, and then he teaches, he tells parables for them, as a group of disciples. Peter is referring to the parable earlier when he said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everyone?" And how that earlier parable talked about how we're to be dressed and ready for action, that we're prepared when the master returns. And even though Peter is asking this question with reference to the earlier parable, 35 and following, it certainly applies to this parable today in our reading. Jesus is telling this parable to his disciples then and to you and me. He's telling this parable to jolt us from lethargy into fully engaged kingdom living. And the main points of the parable are these. We read in 48, "To whom much is given, much is required." If you reflect a bit, we have been given much. The Spirit has revealed the fact that the kingdom of God is among us. And by the kingdom, the reign and rule of God's love made known in Jesus. We have received grace upon grace. We have been set free from our sin as a gift from God. We have received an identity gifted to us from God, beloved sons and daughters. We have been called into the family business of the Father, redemption. We get to leverage our lives for something of eternal consequence. That's number one. Number two is Jesus is making it perfectly clear here by virtue of the weightiness, if you will, the harshness, perhaps, that the stakes are high. That the very name of God, Father, Son, Spirit, Jesus, is on the line. We don't live in a neutral world. And Jesus says the stakes are high because people's eternities hangs in the balance. That's number two. Number three is there are serious consequences for lethargy, for not being fully engaged in with Jesus in the Master's business. Hence the call to be alert. Something's going on here. The kingdom is among us. I mean, it's hidden in cross experiences, but the kingdom is among us. Jesus, the Spirit is among us. We are to discern what God is up to and literally join and, again, leverage our lives for kingdom's sake, for the sake of Jesus, that we are to be at work advancing the kingdom of God, the message of God's love, Jesus Christ crucified and risen for our sake, for the sake of the world. Jesus is telling this parable to jolt us, to awaken us. In verse 42 and following then, let's look more closely at this parable and then the application. 42, and the Lord said, who then is the faithful and prudent manager whom his master will put in charge of his slaves to give them their allowance of food at the proper time? Now, I do encourage you to open your Bibles. I'm in 847 in the red Bibles in the rack. The word slave is translated from the Greek word doulos. It sometimes or oftentimes translated servant. But in this case, it's translated slave. Who then is the faithful and prudent manager? In Jesus' days, the faithful, the good manager, slave, was given management responsibilities, kind of promoted within, and then given charge over management responsibilities of the other, over the other slaves. And the very important task was, of course, to provide the allowance of food for each of the slaves and to distribute that at the proper time. I mean, we get it. If they're not well-nourished, the slaves are not going to, you know, work that well. They're not going to really serve their master's interests well. So when Jesus says, who then is the faithful, prudent manager, it's clear. It's the person who is at work, doing the works of God, fully engaged. So I'm pressing in on the question, the challenging question, am I a faithful, prudent manager? Am I fully advancing the work of God, Jesus' interest? And when I talk about the work that we are to be engaged in, first and foremost, it is about being a disciple. That word, it really is about hearing, loving God enough to hear the voice of the Father. And then by the grace of God, discovering the empowerment of God to live that out, faith. It is about helping others to be followers of Jesus, disciples who are learning and growing to become more like Christ. Again, both hearing and doing. That's what Jesus said. I only do what I hear the Father saying and doing. It is about, you know, sharing the gospel of love, you know, embodying that word out there in the world and also with our families and close. You know, cousins, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, children. And in this way, we glorify God. We enlarge, we magnify the name of God. That's the work. Be a disciple, make a disciple, share the gospel, glorify the name of Jesus. Are we faithful, prudent managers, faithfully advancing the interests of Christ, the kingdom in this world? Verse 43 says this, in light of that, blessed is the slave whom the master will find at work, doing the work when he arrives. Now, kingdom life is not easy. It is the narrow way, right? It's the road less taken. But it is a good life. And blessed in the sense. Blessed in the sense that God works in our lives. And it's challenging. But there is refinement of character. You know, becoming a bit more Christ-like in love for one another and this world. A bit, you know, freed from oneself and one's, you know, selfish interest. A little bit set free. It's a good and blessed life, you know, character development, transformation. It's a good life realizing that God Almighty is using you for an eternal purpose in the life of someone else. It's a good life in that we are storing up treasures in heaven. That somehow what we do in the name of Christ, a cup of cold water, for example, love never ends, has a way of kind of trickling or has a way of living on in eternity, storing up treasures in heaven. Why would we make our lives about anything else but the kingdom? But we do, do we not? The opposite of a blessed, good life, kingdom life, is a squandered life. A squandered life. Flabby character, self-centeredness, you could call it hedonistic. I'm just about what makes me happy today, something else tomorrow. A life of little consequence for the ultimate purposes of God. No treasures in heaven. That's a whole other sermon. But whatever we do in the name of Christ kind of, again, has a way of living on. But those who are kind of squandering, oh, yeah, well, be saved and enter into glory, but somehow, you know, we've not stored up the treasures that moth cannot destroy or rust destroy. You guys know who Robert Kimdichi is? Jeez, does anybody know? Anybody a Cardinal fan out there? Holy cow, I don't know if this illustration is going to work. Joe knows. Joe knows. We're going with it. Joe knows. Kimdichi was a defensive lineman, and I'm talking about squandering talent. I'm not here to judge Robert Kimdichi. But he was highly recruited out of high school, you know, goes to Ole Miss. You know, has probably a decent collegiate career, but still perhaps, you know, untapped in his full potential. The Cardinals take a risk on him, 216. They draft him 28 overall, 28th pick overall in the whole NFL draft. The results have not been there. They released him this past, past few months. Now he's with the Miami Dolphins, perhaps his last chance. Here's a guy with incredible talent. Yet it seems it's being squandered. We read in John 9:4 these words. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. You were given this opportunity. We have ministry opportunities right here and now. Hopefully we will not squander the gifts, the talents, the opportunities we have to further the name of Jesus. Along those lines, here also some good news. In 44, Jesus says, truly, I tell you, he, the one who is at work when the master arrives, truly, I tell you, this one, that one, will be put in charge of all his possessions. You know, Joseph learned in Genesis, learned faithfulness. He was faithful to God. And in his faithfulness to God, I mean, he was astute in furthering the interests of Pharaoh. And here, Joseph, you know, ends up by the sovereign God who's working out his eternal purposes, is put in charge of everything in the Egyptian kingdom. Pharaoh put everything in charge of Joseph because he was faithful. You know, we've chatted about it. I've shared how we received the gift of the kingdom. Declared sons and daughters, called into the Father's business, redemption. And if you think about it, Who is this on? Who is God counting on? He's counting on you and me. He's authorized us as Christians to represent, to make his name known, and to do so, hopefully, in a way that truly reflects who God is, the God of mercy and grace and love. And we've been given the empowerment of the Spirit. God's word, when embodied and when shared, will not return void. We have put in charge of everything, and the Lord's counting on us. We've been entrusted with the true riches of the gospel. And here's how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Paul says, think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. You know, that's managing. We've been entrusted with the gospel. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy, that they be found at work for the kingdom's sake. We've been called from the darkness into the light for the purposes of God. We've been given much. To whom much is given, much is required. Again, leveraging our lives, leveraging our churches to make the name of Jesus known. That's what it means to be a faithful, prudent manager whom God has entrusted, put in charge of the keys of the kingdom. Would you describe yourself today as a faithful, prudent manager? Verse 45, we come to those really wonderful words, 45 and 46. We read, but if that slave says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and if he begins to beat the other slaves, men and women, and eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him to pieces and put him out with the unfaithful. He was entrusted with much, but he didn't faithfully carry out his duties of distributing the food in a timely manner. Instead, it was all about him. He beat the slaves, ate the food, drank their fluids, which included wine, and got smashed. Such an egregious failure to execute faithfully his master's interest. Perhaps he thought, you know, I don't know if my master is really serious when he said he would return at some point in time. Jesus tells this parable of the unfaithful, or this portion of the unfaithful, and the earlier faithful one, and we get the sense that the discharge of the master's interests, whether we faithfully discharge them or unfaithfully, is, you know, a real-time opportunity or real-time squandered opportunity. Really, we can go either way. And sometimes we're more on the continuum of being more faithful. Sometimes we're lax, more unfaithful. There is a battle going on. We have the weakness of the flesh. We have a world far from God. We have an enemy who seeks to kind of, you know, kill, destroy, and rob us of life. If you're reading the Indeed, last week, you see how unfaithfulness can creep in so easily. It's put this way, Indeed. I believe it was last Tuesday. This is a devotional. And the writer writes, it doesn't begin with a well-marked roadmap to our destruction. No, our departure from God's path is a series of shady grays and mixed desires. If we aren't watchful and well-guarded, we can easily be led by tiny steps into the snares of the enemy and the ways of the world. We can so easily rationalize. You know, in a sense, did God really say, you know, you can hear the voice of the serpent. God can't really be serious, you know, about all of these teachings. It's okay to fudge a bit here and there, you know. And so we rationalize sometimes our greed, lust, resentments and the like. But if we've not been faithful in being a disciple who disciples others, sharing the gospel, honoring God's name, there will come a day of reckoning. And it's painful. One thing I have learned over the last 9 months is that God is deadly serious for us as believers that we honor and glorify his name. Because when we honor and glorify God's name, what we're doing is really making God known and who he is and his love for this world. He's very serious that we represent him well. And I speak knowingly. For perhaps three and a half years, you know, just kind of in one area of my life, just kind of maybe fudged a little bit, you know, perhaps a little bit disinterested or undisciplined, perhaps benignly so, what have you, but at the end of the day, kind of drifted. And I can tell you, the day of reckoning came, and it was painful. It's painful. God loves us too much. He disciplines those whom he loves. He wants us to leverage our life again for eternal consequence. You know, as I mentioned, this parable is kind of told in such ways. He just holds up that slave, this slave, or that slave, that slave. The idea, again, being clear contrast between faithful and unfaithful. And to kind of hold up the mirror, if you will, in light of this is reflect on your life today. Faithful. You know, and discharging, unfaithful, lax. And the truth is, you know, it's not kind of all one or all the other. We're all someplace along the continuum, are we not? Depending on where we're at today, between faithful, you know, living as believers in Jesus, and unfaithful, laxness, unfaithfulness. As I meant, this parable is told to jolt us. I mean, you know, God kind of taps on the door of our heart or knocks a bit, right, to kind of get our attention. Then God kind of has a way of talking up a little bit louder, right? And then God starts to shout, hey, I'm serious. And we do well to heed, you know, God's intervention through the Spirit. As I mentioned, jolt us from lethargy. The stakes are high. The good name of our Lord is on the line. People's eternities. So what do you sense, really? This is about you and God to a certain extent, what the Spirit's saying to you. And we can say, you know, with regard to each and every one of us, where have I been lax or little lax or perhaps lax in kind of a big sort of way regarding the call of God on my life? Maybe I'm not really using, you know, the resources God has given me, you know, time, talent, treasure to the fullest. Perhaps I've not really fully engaged in important relationships. You know? You can answer that question. And part of the good news of repentance, which is a change of heart and mind and going in a new direction, is that new direction. We turn from something that's killing us to the Lord who seeks to give us life. And I'm serious again. Where do you sense you've been lax? And in light of that, what's a step in the direction of our Lord in more fully engaged kingdom living? The Lord is serious, to be sure. Reading from the verse again at the end, 48. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And for the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. The stakes are high. How will we respond? Let's pray. Lord, it's not a comfortable word. But Lord, you are really interested in calling us from death to life abundant, life in you. You call each and every one of us as our good Father to hallowed be thy name, that we hallow your name, that we honor and glorify your name. So, Lord, we thank you that you are a good father. And this good father, Lord, is a tough teaching. Lord, help us to be truly mindful of what you're saying to us today, each and every one of us, that we might respond to you, faithful Father. Receive your love and share your love with the dying world. In the name of Jesus, amen.